mind, you're not going to serve all of them the same. You're going to have one of them that's going to serve better than the other. And most of us, we serve ourselves better than we serve God. Preach. We serve ourselves better than we serve others. Because now we become our own masters. Because we think we can save ourselves. Lord have mercy, y'all. I ain't gotten to it yet, but I'm going to get there. So he talks about the things that we should focus on, because we focus many times on the wrong thing. The wrong thing. We focus on so many. You know, there ought to be somebody in your life that you are seeking to lead to Christ. Somebody in your life that you're looking to encourage, to build them up. Somebody in your life that you're looking to help out of a rut, that you can give them a head start, a boost off, so that you can help make their life better. Somebody that you may network with that you can help out. Don't always look to take. But look to give. Look to be a blessing. Look to see where you can help somebody's life. Amen. But look at this. He says, so he goes on to talk about, you know, darkness and light. And he talks about serving two masters. And notice what he said. You can't serve God and mammon. Anybody know what mammon is? That's money. That's the god of money. You can't serve God and money at the same time. When you fighting with people over money, that means you fighting for your master. I'm just telling you. The other day, the lady got me at the bank for 20. She got me. I started to go back around. I said, no, Lord, she can have you. Give it back to me later. I'm all right. I'm all right. And guess what? He gave it back to me. Don't worry about it. We get so bent out of shape over the smallest thing. The woman shot you 16 cents at the cash register. You ready to go off. But where is your witness? What happens to your witness when you go off over 16 cents? Huh? I often say this, and y'all know I said, what's money to God? What is money to God? That's not much to him. So if I'm not living on the economy of the world, nor am I living out of my bank account, but I'm living off the graces of God. Oh. Then I shouldn't be worried so much and crying and acting a fool and fighting about stuff that I know ain't. He said that the moth gonna eat it up anyway if you leave here. You can't take it with you. Tell somebody you can't take it with you. I'm gonna get off money because y'all way too quiet here. Tell somebody, Pastor Lee, tell Pastor Lee money alone. Stop messing with your little idol God and you're really getting mad with me. Mess with your idol God, you get quiet on me. That's all right. I'm not intimidated by quietness. Do your God still speak in quietness? Verse 30, I'm getting to the word here. Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, which day is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Notice what he says here. He says, first off, you need to recognize God's divine providence. God's providence. In other words, he's saying that there are some places that just it's God's responsibility. It's his work, his place to do certain things. Amen. And just as God knows the sparrow, and if one falls to the ground, he knows about them. God knows all your problems too. We have a grocery list of stuff that we try to tell God all about and don't know that God already knows about my troubles. Amen. That's why he says that all things work together for the good of them. Romans 8, come on. All things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Amen. And so we got to get to a place where we trust God enough to know that the thing is going to work for our good. Matter of fact, he said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? If God is on my side, everybody else might as well be, because I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome, because I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Amen. Y'all still with me now? So we gotta know that God's divine providence will keep us. He'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed on him. But notice what he said, that he says, therefore, verse number 31, take no thought. Now, when he says, therefore, take no thought, I can go through all the Greek words with you to show you what it actually means, but I'll just tell you what it means. It means don't worry. He said, don't worry. about these things. Don't worry about these clothes. Don't worry about this money. Don't worry about what you have to eat. He said, take no thought. Don't worry. He said, for what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? We got to understand that we can't worry about these things because we can't fix them. We can't change them. We just have to wait on God. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that you can complete or do without him. Why? Because it is in him we live, move, and have our being. It is him that gives us breath. It is him that gives us life. The reason why I exist is because of him. And so when I take my focus off of him, that's just like taking a fish out of water. I'm subject to die sooner or later because I'm not connected to the one that gives me life. Y'all with me now? He said in the same chapter, John 15, he said, I am the true vine. And there's some other stuff you might connect to that's fake, but I'm the real McCoy. I'm the real deal. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, the Father watches over the vine to make sure it produces what it's supposed to produce. He said that he prunes it. He pull off some stuff that shouldn't be there. Sometimes God removed things out of your life that shouldn't be there, and sometimes he removed people out of your life that shouldn't be there. But whatever God does is all right with me because it's good for my spiritual growth. It's good for my, I wish I had somebody in here. It's good for my life and I need it. There was a lady that was said that she was about to die and they came to pray for her and they said, you believe that you'll live? She said, whatever God want to do. They said, well, what if God say you want to die? She said, whatever God want to do. He said, what if God say, what do you want? You know, he's, you know, Christian trying to get a right. She said, well, if God asks me what I want to do, I'll refer back to God and say, God, what you want? When we get to the place where we can trust God to say, God, I know whatever's best for me is in your hand and in your will and what your desires are. When we get to that place, we have truly come to a place of faith. We have truly come to a place where we trust God. God, I could tell you what I'd like to see, but I don't care about that. I want whatever you want from me. Trust in God. We say we trust God, but when we refer back to God, and say, God, whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. See, look at what he says in verse 30. He said, wherefore God clothed the grass of the field. God take care of the grass, and it still grows, and it still comes out in its season, and you don't want it to grow, but it keep growing. He says, which is the day tomorrow cast in the oven. He says, shall he not much more clothe you? And then look what he said, oh ye of little faith. He didn't have any faith because at least they believed in him. But they didn't trust that he could do what he needed them to, what they needed him to do. And that's the same way we are. We have little faith. We believe that he is, but we don't believe that he'll reward them that diligently seek him. The Bible says that in order for us to please God, we must first come to God and must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we seek him diligently, that's not just every now and then. That's not seeking him when our show ain't on TV. Scandal, Empire. Y'all with me? Yeah, I ain't coming to church because I'm watching my shows. Preach. I'm just saying, you can't diligently seek God, and there's some other stuff that you got before him. Boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, husband, wife, whatever you put before God, that proves that you're not diligently. I'm just telling you how the cow eat the cabbage today. That's not diligence. You can say, oh, I seek God, and I'm holy. You ain't. I know you ain't. You fooling your own self. I see God and you go to church once a year. I can serve him at my house watching televangelists on TV and you get up, put your offering on the TV. Then when you need it, you go back and say, church, I need it and pull it back off TV. That ain't diligence. That's dumb. Amen. All right, I'm gonna get on out of here. I'm gonna get on. Y'all, don't get mad with me. I ain't talking about nobody. Tell somebody, say, he ain't talking about nobody. He's just talking about what he's talking about. All right, don't be mad with me. All right? Tight, but it's right. I'm going to take my time, y'all. Might as well just hang in there with me. Look at what he says. He goes in verse 31. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, all of that stuff. But the thing about it is, we got not only understand his providence, that he's able to supply our need, that he's able to give us what we need. He's able to protect us. He's able to clothe us. He's able to feed us. That's why he tells us when we pray, he said, this how you ought to pray. He says that we ought to ask for our daily bread. That's why when they were in the wilderness, do you know that if they took more manna in the wilderness than they were supposed to, if they said, oh, I'm gonna take this for a late night snack, it would rot before they could eat it. They had to only take enough to eat at the moment. That was them relying on God for their daily bread. And many of us, we're trying to hold stuff and we're trying to save it for later, and God letting the cankerworm eating and the moth eating, he's letting it rot because we're not using it the way he wants us to use it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, now look, he says here, now I gotta say this too, because sometimes we try to say, oh, I ain't no cankerworm and no moth eating. Let me tell you who the cankerworm is. That's the bill collectors, that, you know, your late fees that you gotta pay. Let me tell you something else. And I'm going to get out of the way with this money, because I don't know why y'all messing with somebody getting mad with me over money. Y'all quit messing with me about this. But if you don't tithe, do you know God still gets his tithe? Because the plumber tithe. That's why he let your pipes get messed up. The mechanic tithe. Y'all want me to go a little further? They tithe. That's why he let your car get jacked up. He gets it. You can't hold nothing back from God. He said that it'll be like putting money in pockets and you got holes in it. He said it'll be like he'll blow on it and just scatter. So don't get mad with me about this money thing. This is God talking now. I didn't say anything that ain't back up with scripture. I know this is a different Sunday. I know I ain't preaching like I normally do, but it's okay. Alright. So, I'm trying to get finished so y'all won't be too mad with me. Skip over a few things. But look, he says, we got to understand first also the priorities. Look at this. He says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Don't you know that God knows what you need? God is not ignorant. God is all-knowing. Amen. He is nothing hidden from him under the sun, nothing over the sun. There's nothing that God does not know. Do you know that God knows the end at the beginning? He knows the very end at the beginning. And even if you read the scripture, he said that you can't, he said you don't know. You know, he knows the very hairs on your head. He knows how many you got. I ain't got that many, but he knows exactly how many I got. But you know what else he says? That you can't change your stature. I know we talk about how, well, you can't make yourself no taller. But no, what if you read that in the Greek text, it means also that you can't expand your life. God knows exactly the day you're going to die. Preaching here. So you can't talk to God about trying to expand and get more days, because he already know what day you're going to go out of here. He know what day he's going to come meet you. Amen? All right, let me go on a little further. He says, God knows what you need. Verse number 33 says this, and I'm almost done. I've just been talking to you. I know it's kind of boring, but hold on. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, notice what he said. We got to put some priorities and some things in priority. Amen? We got to actively seek God. The word seek is to actively go after or to actively pursue God. And we must actively, and you know what it means to be active? That's like somebody being part of a group. That means somebody being part of something. And they say, you know, I'm active because I keep up my dues. I keep up and I'm at the meetings. That's active. But when you're not active, that means that you're not present and you ain't always doing what you're supposed that is required for you to be a part of that group. Come on and say amen. Are you an active member of the church? Yes or no? If I've been there, I'm active. If I ain't, I'm not active. Come on and say amen. And so what we got to understand is that when we are seeking God, we're actively seeking him. We are actively pursuing him. In other words, I'm in his presence on a regular. Preach. I'm always praying to him. I'm always talking to him. I'm always praising him. I'm always lifting him up. I'm always, always doing something to glorify him and to expand his kingdom. And so therefore, I am actively pursuing him. Y'all can say amen now. I ain't talking about money. So we got to seek him. Seek the kingdom. He said, seek ye first. So put the first thing in order. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is the king's domain. It's where he rules, where he reigns. And so in order first to be able to seek the kingdom, you got to know the king. And if you don't, you got to become a subject to the king. And so we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt us in due season. We got to submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, the Bible says this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Why in the world do we play into the devil?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Parental involvement is the key to your child's success at school. This is Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. Whether it's volunteering at school, communicating with teachers on a regular basis, or helping with homework, we know that parental involvement is crucially important. So get involved. Working together, parents and educators can make this a great school year for every student in Louisiana.
A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with the story of a Jesus freak who was ready for the worst. Pastor Lee knew he was being watched by the Chinese Public Security Bureau. He knew the risk of preaching at the house church, as he did every Tuesday. Pastor Lee had been arrested many times and beaten to the point where he vomited blood. Once he was beaten with his own Bible. He also knew Chinese citizens can be sent to labor camps for up to 3 years without a trial. So he was ready. He even had a bag packed with a blanket and extra clothing. Still, he preached that night without fear. Sure enough, armed officers burst through the doors and arrested him. Lee was ready. Are you?
For more on the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
Oh.
Bible says when praises go up, blessings will come down. How many come to this place tonight to give God some praise on tonight? Come on, can you put your hands together for us on tonight? We're going to sing this little song right for you. Come on.
Bible say, oh yes, it did. One day he died. Oh, how they cried and they laid him in the grave. Oh, hallelujah. But Jesus, who knows our sorrow? Oh, yes, he did. Our sorrow, he will always share. They look down the road, so I he was standing right there. Hallelujah.
Martha said, Lord,
she said, Lord, if you had been here,